pastor started a series he shared with me was he wants to tell us how wonderful the Word of God is. It's amazing. That's how we need to view the Scripture. Amen. Is the Bible amazing to us? Of course. It's considered the living Word of God, because every time somebody reads and studies it, new thoughts come into our hearts and mind, and that happens all the time. But the Bible has to be believed. Why? Why do we have to believe the Bible?
We don't believe it, we can't trust it.
If we don't believe it, we can never learn about the God who wrote it and the Savior who came to die for us. You just have to want, you have to have a desire to want that. And where do we get those desires? From God's grace. The Holy Spirit of God gives people the desire. Hey, this is the Word of God. This is my Word. Now, do everything you can to live by it. And it tells us so much history, especially of the children of Israel. And it tells us what we need to do to live. But it was God's grace that started that thought. Should I believe that this book that we say is the Bible is God's Bible? And then once we believe that, God the Holy Spirit will stir up in our heart the truth, the reality that it really is super amazing. And then what? When we start living the godly life that God says we live, then what does he do? He blesses our life over and over and over, and it just strengthens our faith. But what did the Bible say is true about creation? Remember the verse in Psalms that says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." See, even if a person never got this book, even the heavens indicate that there must be a God who put all of it in order. And that's why it says that people around the world, even the ones in the African tribes or the South American tribes that maybe never have heard the name of our Lord and Savior, they should still believe in the God because of the heavens. And sadly, many of the people who live in those outreaches of society and outreaches of civilization, they have had a twisted view of this God that created the world. But what about all the people that live in society? Certainly we should be smart enough to know the difference that God created this world. But the first thing I want to mention is about the heavens. Did you know there are three heavens at least? How do we know? Well, we know that we breathe air. We don't see the air. We see the effects of air through the wind, but we don't see the air. How do we know it's really there? How else are we going to stay alive? Science has shown why we should believe that there's air. That's really only the first heaven the Scripture talks about. Where's the second heaven? We have a whole universe of stars and planets. That's the second heaven. So, is it logical that there is a third heaven? That there is something beyond our physical universe? Yes. And who inhabits the third heaven? That's where God is. Whether it is an actual physical location or not, we know that there are invisible spirits. There's a realm of spiritism. That's reality. But I personally think that somewhere beyond the end of our universe, there's another place called heaven. And Paul said in part of his writings in 2 Corinthians 12:2 that God took him to this third heaven. That's what he called it. So I'm going to believe the truth of the scripture because of what it's done for my life already. And when it says he was taken to a third heaven, I'm going to believe him. But if you want to understand the first heaven, read about its creation in Genesis 1. It talks about the firmament. Firmament that allows the birds to fly and the firmament that keeps life alive on this planet with oxygen that we need to breathe. And understand that we can see the second heaven. We've viewed a good part of it. And we're going to talk about it in a little more detail later. Why is the Bible a scientific book? I want you to think about some reasons. It's an amazing book. We have an amazing God. He's given us heaven to enjoy. And we're going to talk about some specifics as we go through the lesson. Brother Leo? Okay.
Water evaporates, rains down on earth, flows to the ocean, yet the oceans never overflow.
Right.
And that's one of the...
One of the statements about a natural event, and science now has more technical terms to explain it. And that's the kinds of things that we're going to talk about in class today.
That just goes to show that given enough time, eventually...
Science will eventually help prove that the Bible is more right. And that's what's been happening. And these are the amazingness of the Bible that I want us to think about for this class period. So, let's skip. Question? Amen. So there's the holy heaven, and that's where we know God would be. And Paul referred to that as the third heaven. Excellent, Linda. Good job. But how big is this universe? How big is it? We think the planet is pretty big. It's a lot bigger than most of us will ever visit. Correct? I have been as far away as England and Scotland. Spent some time up in Alaska. But I haven't gone across the ocean to Hawaii or to South America. I have been into Canada, have been into Mexico. That's as far as I've ever gotten, and that's only a piece, a small piece of the earth. Some people travel the world. Well, they're still here. They got back home. After traveling, there have been a few people make it to outer space. But this universe that we're one teeny tiny planet orbiting one medium-sized star in a galaxy that has millions and billions of stars, we call the Milky Way galaxy. But how much exploring of the heavens has man been able to discover? How did we start discovering the things that are in outer space? A guy named Galileo took some lenses, put them in a tube, and he said, if you put the lenses at the right distance, you can focus in on objects. He was able to see some of the moons of Jupiter, the largest moons of Jupiter, with his telescope. But what have we learned since with telescopes? We put huge 30-foot telescopes on the tops of mountains. Why? Because it eliminates all the interfering light from cities and towns when you're up on top of a mountain. Number two, the air is thinner, so it doesn't detract as much from the images when you're up on top of a mountain. But what have we done since about 1990? We launched the satellite that had a huge telescope on it called the Hubble. And did you know that they put up a second one that is even bigger and stronger and has more computer analyzing ability? So that when they point that telescope to the far reaches of the universe, they still see more stars. How about if some of those stars are actually galaxies? Have you heard that? That there are some of those specks in outer space that we see as a star with a telescope. We can't see it without the use of a telescope, some of these galaxies. And that when you get the images that are worked on by the computers, they find out that it isn't just a single glowing object like most of the other stars. It's a combination of many, many, many stars. In other words, different galaxies. And they still haven't found the edge. What is something that we know, the scripture says, that God knows about the universe? You know, it says he knows the names of every star. Psalm 147, verse 4. Do you want to turn there? Let's get a few scripture verses in. Psalm 147, 4. There are scriptures that we can find. And Linda already brought out the one about a heaven where God is. Here's something talking about what God can do in verse 4, 147, 4. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Hey, this God that created them has named them. Do you have your name put on any stars? It'll cost you about $70 or $80. You can call into NASA's hotline, pay them the fee, whatever it is, whatever the going rate is, and they will list whatever name you want to name the star. People have done it for their grandchildren. And the scientists will name a star for you. They'll put it in the official registry of how they keep track of stars. Most of them are just by alphanumeric codes of some sort, just so that they can keep track of them. But God knows every name. Jude 13 mentions the wandering stars, stars that wander. Well, what do we call those wandering stars? They don't act like the other things that looked like stars in the early days before telescopes. To them, it was just a moving star. What did they name them back in the early days? The Greeks and the Egyptians. They called them planets because planet just means wanderer. These small group of, quote, stars that don't act like the other stars. And what's the reason science has proven they don't act like the other stars? What's the reason? Because they're planets that are orbiting the sun. And the orbits of them are totally different than all the other motions of all the other stars. So even from the early days of, before there was a thing called astronomy, they just, people studied the heavens for centuries. Judges 5:20 says, the stars are in their courses. You mean the stars have orbits? Well, that's what that word courses mean. There is a place, an order of them in Judges 5:20. And I already mentioned that some of the stars, after viewing them through these most modern telescopes especially, their entire galaxies, which is a group of millions or billions of stars. Okay, here's the last thing I want to mention. How do we measure the stars? The distance. Can't use feet. That's not very good even for measuring things on Earth. So we have a larger unit called a kilometer, if you're a scientist, or a mile. Is a mile the largest unit of measure we have on the Earth? It's the only one we use for measuring distances on the Earth, miles. But that's not going to do any good to measure into outer space. Because how far about do scientists say our sun is from the Earth? No? One astronomical unit. Very good. But do you know how many miles they estimate it is? 93 million miles. Wow. How would you like to get busy walking 93 million miles? Even in a spaceship, it would take decades because most of our spaceships travel less than 20,000 miles an hour. How long does it take light to travel from the sun here? Right around 8 minutes. And how fast is the speed of light? Oh, I looked it up. 5.879 times 10 to the 12th power. So just think 6 trillion. Is that easy to remember? Light travels about 6 trillion miles in a second. No, it's not in a second. It's light is 300,000 meters in a second, 186,000 miles per second. But a light year, about 6 trillion miles. And the sun is less than that. It's only 93 million miles away. So it takes about 8 minutes to get travel. But where is the closest star? Alpha Proxima. Closest one, they believe, is 2.5 light years away. And then after that, they start measuring them in hundreds of light years away. How big is this universe? Immense. And God knows every speck of it everywhere. Is God amazing? Is the scripture beyond our understanding? What is man's role in this creation? Let's go to the book of Genesis. That's where most of the verses are. First in Genesis 1 has a mention of what is our role in this universe. God gave Adam and Eve, he created male and female on the sixth day with the animals. And verse 28 tells us what God said for them to do. What is our role? Here's what God wants. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. What is our role? To obey God in taking care of this world. Oh, does that mean we should go after this new Green Deal? No, man carried that one way, way too far. But our job is to take care of this planet instead of just abuse it. We are supposed to take care of it. In chapter 2, verse 15, God kind of gives a little more definition. He put Adam and Eve in the garden, Garden of Eden, of course, and he gave them the command to dress and to keep it. Okay? So, what is our responsibility? To use the resources that God made in this world, so that we could survive, so that we could enjoy life. Now, this was before the fall, before man sinned and ruined creation, God's perfection. God had to curse the ground, had to curse man, had to curse woman, and of course, curse Satan. The Bible is not real clear where Satan comes into the picture. As a created angel, I'm guessing it was before the earth was made. There are some other theories, but I'm not going to go there today. I want to look at what is our responsibility. How do we play a part in this thing called the earth? Well, what does the Bible say about us? It says we're made in the likeness of God. So what do we understand that to be? Made in the likeness, in the image of God. We have a three-person God, Father, Son, and Spirit, and we have a trichotomy of our existence. Body, soul, spirit. There are people that put soul and spirit together. I don't think Scripture does. Made in God's image. We're going to stick with the trichotomy as well. What about our bodies? What were they made from? The dust of the earth. So if you were to get 160 pounds of dirt, how much would that cost? 160 pounds of dirt. If you go to Home Depot and get four of the 40-pound bags, it's maybe $15 for dirt. Yes? But there's even a better one than that. We have more than just dirt. We have all kinds of other minerals because we're a living creature. It's been quite a while ago, but I remember hearing a scientist say, if you were to analyze the chemical makeup of a human body, the average human body would be worth about $4. So, considering that's been a long time ago, even if it's $10 today for the chemicals that make up a human body, it's still not very valuable. But God didn't just give us chemicals. What did He do? He breathed into the nostrils of man and made him a living soul. What value does our society place on life today? It used to be a lot more. Now with abortion and, what do they call it? Euthanasia, which is how important a failing body is. the value of life, except for criminals' lives. They want to keep them alive and not obey what God says, but that's a whole nother matter. But we became a living soul. We have an eternal existence, correct? Either in heaven with our God when we trust the Lord Jesus as our Savior, or there's an eternal existence in the lake of fire and in a place called hell that one day God will even take the people out of hell and throw them into the lake of fire. God has an explanation for how we can remedy that, not to have to go to the lake of fire. It takes faith, believing the scripture, but believing in the Lord Jesus as the Savior, the one and only Savior. Can't earn our way there. It takes faith. It takes believing. What about man's physical structure? How does the Bible describe that? If you want to go back to Psalms 139, verse 14, it gives a wonderful description. Psalm 39, 14. I think I said 114. 139, verse 14. You're familiar with this too, I'm sure. I will praise thee, for I am, say it, fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. God has made us fearfully and wonderfully. Now, of course, evolution and scientists have twisted. They try to explain where this universe came from without there being a God creator that we're responsible to glorify. But how wonderful is the reproduction process for people? God made it a strong desire for opposite genders to have an attraction because he knew that man would eventually pervert it, and he had a strong natural attraction. And it requires copulation and then the fertilization of the embryo and the sperm cells. And what happens once that has happened? It starts to grow inside the mother's womb, the place specially made for this to happen. And we rejoice with that. God said, reproduce, and he makes it pretty easy to happen. But if you ever study the development of that little tiny embryo, has its own DNA at the very moment those two cells join together and unite, that egg becomes fertilized, instantly has its individual DNA. Then it starts dividing and multiplying and develops into a child. Fearfully and wonderfully made. And we could get into all the details of DNA and the study that scientists figures out with that. But what in our body keeps us alive? Scripture has an answer for that. Leviticus 17:11 says the life is in the blood. Now, of course, it's referring to the sacrifices. But that statement is true of all living animals and man. I don't consider man an animal. I'm not in that group. Scientists can classify us that way, but God had a special reason for us. He breathed into our nostrils the breath of life. the life is in the blood. Have you ever heard about the red blood cells? I watched a video one time. The shape of the red blood cell is a disc, circular shape, flattened on the sides. But is it totally flat across the red blood cell? The answer is no. Microscopes have proven that the blood cell is thinner in the center than it is on the edges. And scientists started doing some studies. Why is the shape of that red blood cell so important? So that the oxygen and carbon dioxide can swap places in less than a hundredth of a second. You know why it has to swap places in less than a hundredth of a second? Because that's how long it's in the capillaries of our living tissues. It's only in the capillary a hundredth of a second. And what has to happen? Oxygen and carbon dioxide has to swap places. Wow, the design of every red blood cell? Yes. And God has it fearfully and wonderfully made. That's one example. We could get into DNA and genetics, and I'm almost done with my time, and I still have a page and a half of notes to do. Of all the things that God has designed this universe for, not to mention the varieties of life, from the viruses, according to scientists, viruses are the smallest living things. We can't even call them a cell. It's just such a microscopic speck that's causing all this difficulty, because man has been able to genetically change things in it. But compared to a bacteria, would you consider a bacteria very big? Nope, it's still a lot smaller than a single living cell. Bacteria are thousands of times bigger than viruses. We don't understand why they're even alive. And then bacteria are the things that cause so many diseases and illnesses. They get into the living cells and go to town. But how complex is a living cell? And plant cells are different from animal cells, and people cells are very close to animal cells. But what does it take to keep a cell alive? All the chemical reactions that are taking place. As far as I've heard, man has never been able to make a living cell. Never has been able. They've tried and tried and tried. They've been able to develop proteins, which are some of the similar to the ones that are in living cells. But the only way you get life is by starting with a living cell, something that's already been alive. And then they can adjust it and they can manipulate it lots of ways. But they had to start with a living cell. What about what propagates the living cells? What keeps an alga alive? They usually live in the water. But what keeps them alive? They have little tiny packets inside the cell that contain chlorophyll. What does the chlorophyll do? Absorbs the sunlight. Well, by the way, where does the energy from the sun come from? See, we could get it. We could chase all the majestic things about this creation. And to think that there was a big bang along the way and all this stuff developed? It takes more faith to believe all of that than it does. I'm going to follow what God says because it's a lot simpler. And if I just believe what the Bible says, then I can be saved and I can have eternal life. And I don't have to try to figure out why am I here. I have a purpose for being here. To glorify my God. Live the best life that His Word says I should live. We have an amazing God. We have to believe it. And there are still lots of other things that I wrote down, but I don't have time to talk about them. God's amazing. And we've got to live a life that's pleasing to Him. That's our whole purpose. Glorify Him. The animals glorify Him. They live their life and they never sin because they don't have a soul to turn away and reject God. They don't have to do anything except live their life. And God made them exactly the way He likes for them to live. And they glorify Him. The one plant I know that Jesus talked about, He was trying to get people to not be so concerned about things in their physical life. He said, consider the lilies. They don't work, they don't spin, they don't plant, they live. And God designed them so that they live a beautiful, wonderful life. I was going to try to do some research in it, but the Lord knew I wouldn't have time to talk much about it. But everything in this universe, God has for a reason. Yes, even evil and Satan. And what's the reason that I think maybe God permitted this? Because we as Christians need to prove our love to God. Are we going to choose to follow evil? Or are we going to prove, I want my life to glorify God, be obedient to God? So I think that's my justification for why there's Satan and evil. And many people have rejected this God. There are a lot of scientific statements. Man should not have known in history that the earth was flat. Remember back in grade school we were taught? The people before Columbus who sailed around the world, what did they think? Ocean was flat, ships fell off, ships were eaten by sea monsters, right? Isn't that what we were told when we were young? Most of us are old enough to remember that. Yeah. But do you know Job talks about the circle of the earth? Why else should we know the earth is circular? Have you ever watched a lunar eclipse? What happens with a lunar eclipse? The earth is starting to cover, the shadow of it is starting to cover the moon. Well, is it flat? No, it's curved all the way across the moon. And then when it goes past, it's curved on the... Well, we didn't know that until man figured out you could sail the ocean and come back. Right? 1400s, 1500s. Well, now we have pictures from space. Unless you have conspiracy theories, you think all that was made up. Man didn't really walk on the moon. We're not really sending probes out into... Hey, the Voyager 2 made it out past Pluto. They only wanted to get to Saturn. That was their hope. And that was almost 30 years ago now. But they get such little bit of information from it, it's something they don't keep track of much anymore. But it's out past Pluto, and they did declassify Pluto from a planet. Well, science will change. God doesn't. With just a few folks that I figured would probably be here, because you have been faithful, there's still lots of things we can learn. Glorify our God. Let's pray.